Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Who are the Detroit Pistons taking at five? We look at all the biggest mock drafts across the media sphere and examine who the experts have the Pistons taking with the fifth pick. And is Cade Cunningham worth a max contract? Some big-time media heads say no. We talk about all that and more on this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is.
And we're back for another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Lots of good stuff to talk about today with my friend Jasper Apollonia. Jasper, a couple weeks out from the draft. How we doing, man?
Not too bad. I wish we had one very, very, very specific topic to talk about this week, but unfortunately that did not come to pass. I'm starting to feel a sense of dread, which is coming from the fact that I might actually be right that Monty Williams will continue to be the Pistons head coach this year. We're getting awfully close to draft day, Aaron. But never fear. We have plenty of other stuff to talk about this week. Just excited to get into it with you, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, I know we've kind of teased the last few weeks that I feel like we'll have something concrete to talk about there, but
we've teased. We have people in our WhatsApp who are teasing way harder and not delivering. So you know who you are if you're listening. You need to cut those sauces off. All right, get some new sauces.
Still very excited to talk about everything that we're going to talk about today. The NBA draft, Cade Cunningham. We're going to get into that very, very quickly here. But before we do, a quick word about our sponsors. Every week, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for your NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals betting this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with BetOnline. BetOnline, the game starts here. So let's get into This subject that we've talked about a lot. We're going to continue to talk about it, the NBA draft. It's a, you know, despite it being maybe not the most exciting or the most talented draft class, it's still a big one for the Pistons nonetheless. And we're seeing, based on mock drafts across the entire internet, a very wide variance on who everyone feels the Pistons are going to draft at five. I went and grabbed results from mock drafts across all of the big internet names, all of the big publications, and came away pretty shocked with the variance in the types of players, the different names that mock drafts have the Pistons taking. I'll read off some of the ones that I've grabbed here from each outlet's most recent mock drafts. Starting off, SB Nation has the Pistons going with Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky. Bleacher Report came out on Thursday with a mock draft that has the Pistons taking Cody Williams. That probably would have been much more popular had that been a mock draft from, say, December, January-ish time. CBS Sports has a couple recent mock drafts from a couple different writers. One of the mock drafts has the Pistons taking Ron Holland. The other one has the Pistons getting Zachary Richesse. The Ringer and No Ceilings. No Ceilings, by the way, quick shout out to them. One of my favorite outlets for NBA draft coverage. Seriously, go check them out. They do a great job covering the college game, covering prospects, covering the draft. But both The Ringer and No Ceilings have the Pistons going Reed Sheppard. Yahoo Sports, forgive me for how I pronounce this. I literally just listened to the pronunciation before getting on the show, but I've already forgot it. I believe it's Tijan Saloon, something along those lines, but he's a forward from France. That's who Yahoo Sports is the Pistons taking. The Free Press has them taking Donovan Klingon. USA Today has Detroit taking Matas Muzelis. And then Fox Sports has Detroit taking Stephon Castle. So you come out of there and you see what? Seven names that the Pistons could take. And that's really how it's felt this year in the draft. It's like that for probably most of the teams that are picking in the lotteries. They could take 6, 7, 8 guys and you wouldn't know the difference. But Jasper, are there any of those ones that stand out to you as, hey, maybe not? Or are there any that I know you just had a post come out on the Palace of Pistons Substack talking about Zachary Richechet, which everyone should go check out, palaceofpistons.com. Go check out Jasper's piece on Richechet. I know you're probably in favor of that one. Were there any ones that stood out that you really like? And then were there any that stood out that you were like, eh, I don't like that idea?
Well, you plug me, I plug you, buddy. That's how it works. You also had a piece come out on our website very recently about the three prospects that you want the Pistons to avoid. I couldn't help but notice two of those names were listed here in Rob Dillingham and in Ron Holland. Two players that I happen to like. I just don't know if I love them for the Pistons. I mean, Dillingham, I do like him a lot. I don't really know if Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham are both on the roster. I just have a hard time making that all fit in my mind. I'm just not sure about it. Same with Ron Holland. Like, I like Ron Holland. I do. He's one of those guys where I'm like, I think about Ron Holland, and he's just like, I worry that if the Pistons don't take him, he's going to be a really big miss. And he's going to be one of those guys that you look back on a couple years and go, why were we all so low on him? Like, I know he can't shoot, yes, but like, the guy's a really good athlete. He's a really good finisher. And I think that it's kind of funny in a draft class where people are like, well, there's no high upside prospects. Everyone's going for the safer picks instead of swinging for the fences. When in more talented drafts, I feel like people swing for the fences more. And it seems like this would maybe be the draft where you go, you know, safe guys, whatever. We can find safe guys later on. Let's take the big swing here. For me, guys that I like, you know, I still am pretty high on Buzelis. I think he's a good player. He's an underrated athlete. I know the numbers don't show it, but I think he will be able to shoot at least a passable level in the NBA. I know there's things he needs to work on in terms of like strength, but that is not so big of an issue for me. I like the idea of Reed Sheppard. If you are going to go the safe route, I think Reed Sheppard absolutely is a player where in the way that we said Rob Dillingham maybe doesn't quite fit in, Reed Sheppard, I think, absolutely fits in with his shooting, his passing. He just can do a little bit of everything well, I think, for you. And guys that I don't love the idea, like I said, of Dillingham. I don't love the idea of Stephon Castle either. Like, I know he was awesome for UConn, but that's another player where I just worry about the fit. He can't shoot. He is way shorter than his listed height. I think he measured in at like 6'1", 6'2" at the combine, which is like, it's a little scary. And Richechet, another player that you know I do like. But the more that I get into this draft, the more I worry he's not quite as safe as some people think. And that's always the fun thing about writing a piece. You know what I mean? Maybe you have the same kind of experience. You write about a player that you really liked, and then you're like, well, now that I'm actually thinking about it and breaking it down, I don't know if I love him so much. There might be some other guys I like better. So I'm interested for you. Has your mind changed on any of the players that were mentioned here that were in your players you want to avoid? Is there anybody, I mean, Tijan Saloon, I'll be completely honest with you, I have no idea. Is there anybody else? I think of like Cody Williams that maybe stands out to you that you weren't originally considering.
Cody Williams was a guy that, you know, I really, really liked for Detroit because how he looked before he got hurt at Colorado, he looked like the exact type of guy that you'd want the Pistons to take. There was the three-point shooting. It was the size. It was the length. You know, it was he's young. He's going to grow into his body. He's going to get stronger. He's going to learn how to do more things with the ball in his hands. And then he got hurt at Colorado, and he came back and was just not nearly the same player. And I understand, you know, especially with face injuries, things happen like that, and it can totally shake you as a player. And it's shaken my confidence in him as a prospect. You know, he might be healthy now and he might come back out and, you know, you get the summer league or whatever. Maybe he's doing it in these pre-draft workouts and, you know, he's doing everything that we saw pre-injury and he looks like the top five prospect that he was back then. But I am worried about him now. It almost is Tristan Da Silva a better prospect from Colorado than Cody Williams at this point? I mean, Da Silva does a lot of good things. I don't think he's in play for Detroit 5, but that's a guy that might end up being a lottery pick by the time it's all said and done. Kind of reminds me of Cam Johnson from North Carolina, who I was very, very in favor of the Pistons taking back in the 2019 draft. So that's where I'm at with Cody Williams. Would have liked him a lot more, say, in that January-ish timeline than I do now here in June. I'm still not in on Ron Holland. You know, I get the higher upside with him. He just doesn't do enough things that the Pistons need right now that, for me, makes sense for Detroit. I do like Rob Dillingham. I know I wrote about how I don't think he's a great fit for Detroit, and that's still my belief. I just don't think he is a great fit for Detroit for all of the needs that they have. Like, they could take Dillingham, but he just doesn't fit a big enough role for them right now. There's enough guard competition for him there that I just don't think his archetype makes a ton of sense. But I do like him as a player and a prospect. He's going to be good. The ones that I'm most are most appealing to me are Donovan Clingan from the Free Press. I think, look, whether you keep Jalen Duren or move on from him, you need a defensive-minded center. Clingan is that, and he gives Detroit some competition for Duren. Maybe it lights a fire under him, gets him to take things more seriously, makes him a better player. And in turn, you're also getting a good player in Clingan. I do like the idea of getting Rishi Shea if he somehow slips to 5. I feel like it feels like he's a top 3 pick. I've seen him more at number 1 recently. But there are also those mocks that have him going 4 or 5. So if he's in play, I think Detroit's definitely going to consider him. Uzelis is, I'm kind of 50-50 on. I know there's that Detroit connection there, and I know people say, you know, don't just believe he's getting mocked to Detroit simply because of the Arntellum connection. But Guzelis is in play for Detroit. Absolutely. He absolutely is. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's the pick, if he's there, because I've seen him slide up to number 4 in the mock drafts, and apparently he has had a very, very strong pre-draft process. So I would not be surprised if he somehow ends up going to somewhere like San Antonio at 4, just considering what we're hearing, what we're reading, what's being said by some very respected draft voices. So I really do like Clingan there. I think he's my favorite. I think my least favorite selection would be Ron Holland or Stephon Castle. And I don't necessarily think Stephon Castle is really in play, considering he's not taking workouts from teams that have point guards, and the Pistons have plenty of guards right now. So I think that's where I'm at on it all. Don't see Dalton Connect on any of those mock drafts, which is obviously, I've pretty vocally staked my claim, and that's one of my favorite looks for the Pistons, and not seeing him there. I know he's probably mocked closer to like 7 or 9, somewhere around there, than 5. But again, in a draft like this, Connect's the guy that I'd still very much look at.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you look at all these players that the Pistons could be taking, and I think you can make a reasonable argument for 85% of them. Like, I don't see it necessarily the argument for Stephon Castle, but like, I'm sure someone could make one. Cody Williams, that's another player where I could see you making that argument. You could say, look, he's a top 5 talent. He's got the pedigree. His brother, you look at Cody Williams and say, well, I think he could grow in these skills. His older brother, Jalen Williams, certainly did that. He's been awesome for Oklahoma City and came into the league kind of raw in the same way. Not as good of a shooter either. So I think you could really talk yourself into almost any guy that's projected to go between 1 and 10 in this draft, like, you could talk yourself into taking a 5. And it's going to be really interesting. You know, I think the thing with Klingon, you know, I haven't been quite as high on him as you are, but I do agree with what you're saying in terms of, like, just because you have Jalen Duren doesn't mean you shouldn't take the guy you want. A great example of that would be the Denver Nuggets. Back in 2015, they drafted Yusuf Nurkic. He looked awesome for them as a rookie. 17 points. He was averaging like 7-7, pass a little bit. Looked pretty good. Looked like their center of the future. You know who they drafted the next year? Some guy named Nikola Jokic. It, just because a guy looks good, just because a guy shows flashes, doesn't mean you should take your, you should take yourself out of the running of taking another player that plays the same position. It's about finding the talent, especially when you're in a position like Detroit is. So I see a lot of arguments for a lot of different players. It's going to really be fascinating to see what happens. I do think if he's available, I will say, I do think it's going to be probably Bouzelas. If I just, it makes sense. I think guys like Klingon and Shepard are probably already going to be gone. I just see Bouzelas as like, I just think he fits a lot of what Detroit is looking for right now and a lot of what they need, especially on the wing. So I'm interested to see what Detroit ends up doing, especially if they do last minute decide to make a coaching change. So it's going to be a fascinating next couple of weeks.
You know, I'll pose a question here because I know we've talked about trading up, trading back in the draft. We've had some reports on teams that are interested in trading up. There are teams that are interested in moving up potentially for Donovan Klingon if he's still available. And it feels like Detroit could be a potential trade partner there if Klingon's still around at 5, or if Rishi Shea is still around at 5 and there's a team that really wants him. I mean, I think one of the popular names that gets brought up in this idea would be the Portland Trailblazers. There's, you know, been rumors since ever since he's left that the Pistons would love Jeremy Grant back. What would you say to the idea of trading the 5th pick and whatever else for Jeremy Grant? And then Portland, who has a couple first round picks already, you know, if you can get 14 and Jeremy Grant back for 5, I don't know if the Pistons would have to put something else in that deal. You know, I don't know how Portland views Grant's contract. I know he signed a massive, massive deal with them under the impression that Damian Lillard was still going to be on the team when he signed that contract. Obviously, that's no longer the case. Portland's definitely in a rebuild of their own right now. Just bringing back Jeremy Grant, taking on that contract, using that cap space, and then sliding back, you know, 7 slots or 9 slots in the draft. Does that work for you? Do you like that idea? Are there other teams you'd be looking at trading with? Does a team like Memphis maybe make sense?
I think the problem with the Jeremy Grant thing is, like, you trade for Jeremy Grant. Yes, you still have a draft pick, a decent one, but not a great one. Does Jeremy Grant really make you that much better? And then you have $30 million still to work with. But look, if you use that $30 million and we're going to talk about this right after this discussion, and then you end up extending Cade Cunningham this offseason, I know you still have him for one more year, but like next year, you're a luxury tax team. Like, you're in the luxury tax next year. And I just think that that's, for a player, as much as I enjoy Jeremy Grant, he's going to be 31 next year. He's about the same age as me. I'm trying to think, we were both at Syracuse at the same time. We were both freshmen. So he's going to be 31. Again, I like Jeremy Grant, but no, do I really think that that's a month of difference? No, I just think you need more players, like more good players. And I think you need some younger vets, like we discussed last year. Like, I'm more into the idea of like Malik Monk. I'm more into getting guys that where you can, yeah, you're going to have to pay him about maybe a little bit less, maybe about the same amount as Jeremy Grant. But you just have more leeway in the future. Like, if you need to trade off those contracts, it's going to be way harder to trade a 33-year-old Jeremy Grant than it will be to trade a 27, 28-year-old Malik Monk. I just think that's the reality of the situation. So, no, I mean, I'm somewhat into it if it's the right package, but for Jeremy Grant, I don't think so. What would you be into from like a Memphis side of things, because I don't see you getting Triple J. You're not getting Desmond Bane. You're not getting, you know, any of those guys. Who do you think you would feasibly get from Memphis that would make you want to trade back?
Real quick on Portland, just because I'm actually on the opposite side as you, so I think it's worth sharing the perspective, is I would be in on that deal, because I think, like, yes, Jeremy Grant actually does really help them. Like, if you're talking about guys like Tobias Harris being a potential option for the Pistons in free agency, like, I'd much rather have Jeremy Grant. I guess the only upside to taking on Harris is that it would probably be a shorter term deal, whereas Grant's still under contract through the 2026-2027 season, and then has a player option for the year after that. So if you want
to be
contract, that's fair.
To be fair, I'm not saying I'd like to spend that money on Tobias Harris. Like, yeah, there's other guys. Yes, just to be clear.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you could get Grant and you'd still have cap space to work with. Now, it gets trickier because it is a considerable chunk of that cap space. And, you know, as I've said before, the Pistons need more than just one or two guys to add to this roster this summer. So it's trickier, but you're still getting a lottery pick back. And that's, you're paying him less money than you would the fifth pick. You might still be able to get someone that's being mocked to Detroit in these mock drafts that we looked at. Like, there's a world where Cody Williams is still there at 14. I saw a report Ron Holland could be out of the lottery, you know? So I think you could end up with someone worthwhile at 14 that could still help you. And you're getting a guy in Jeremy Grant that can certainly help you. I won't spend too much time on that because I know it's a very, you know, it probably has a lot of people feeling a lot of different ways. I'm curious what everyone thinks. Please let us know in the comments, as everyone usually does. We love that kind of stuff. So I'm very curious what everyone thinks on that idea, because I think there's some merit. I think there's some value to that idea for Detroit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Moving to Memphis, I think if you get Memphis's pick back, I'd love to get Marcus Smart. I'd love to see Marcus Smart on the Pistons. I mean, I don't know how realistic that is. And I don't know what that would mean for Detroit's guard rotation. I don't know what that would mean for Jaden Ivey. But I think getting a leader, a defensive-minded guard, just a guy that you want on your team, like Marcus Smart is the epitome of that. And yeah, I would sign up for that in a minute to take on Memphis's pick at what are they at? Are they at 9? I believe they're at 9. So I would do that. I would absolutely do that. I don't know if that moves the needle for Memphis. I'm not sure what the situation is with Marcus Smart over there. I know he really didn't play all that much last year. I know he was hurt, and I don't know if there was maybe like a, hey, let's not rush it back, you're not really in our plans anyway type of deal. So I would sign up for trading back with Memphis if you can get someone like Marcus Smart. I don't think there's a world where Luke Kennard's coming back to Detroit, so I wouldn't even pose that idea. And you're not getting any of Memphis' young wings, you know, Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams. Those guys are just, they're just not on the table for, they're better prospects than, you know, probably anyone in this class, honestly. So if you can get Marcus Smart, I would definitely look at that if I was Detroit.
Both Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson could have been Pistons, by the way. If just saying, I like Vince Williams a lot too, probably more than Gigi Jackson, but that's not the point. You know, Marcus Smart, I think that's an interesting idea. He's making what, $20 million. He's only signed through 2026, so it's still a fairly short-term deal. I do think that there is some appeal to that. I guess I would ask, would you rather have Marcus Smart at that contract, or would you rather, you know, he's going to be what, 31 by the time his contract ends, so like that's a perfect time to get out from that, or would you rather pay somebody like Malik Monk, let's say $28 million a year? God, NBA contracts are just so difficult to make sense of now, like, see, for 4 years.
Like I'd much rather have Marcus Smart because he fits like a serious need for them. Like the Pistons were so bad on the perimeter defensively. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, the shortcomings of Jalen Duren defensively, like it was a conga line to the rim. You know, Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, they did not play good perimeter defense. The Pistons did not play good perimeter defense. They invited guards to get into the paint and try to score at the rim. And when you do that, you know, Jalen Duren's not going to be able to stop everything. So as much as we talk about the shortcomings of him defensively, like the Pistons perimeter defense was worst perimeter defense that I've watched in recent NBA history. So when you're talking about the contract, you're talking about the money, you're talking about the age of the player, you're getting out of it, out of his contract at 31 years old. Like, yeah, I'd absolutely take Marcus Smart. And maybe that makes it possible to just kind of transform Jaden Ivey into, look, can he take that sort of Malik Monk career trajectory where he just maybe turns into this volume scoring bench scorer, comes in and leads second units, can start for you. If Marcus Smart misses some games, which he tends to, or if Cade Cunningham misses some games, which he tends to. So I think it makes sense for Detroit to look at that, because then you're also getting that Memphis pick that you can use on a player that helps you as well.
I guess I just worry, like, he can't shoot. Like, the guy's just not a shooter, you know, with Marcus Smart.
Detroit needing shooting.
So. Yeah, like, I mean, but that is always the issue with all of these hypotheticals, is like any guy who comes in and solves one issue doesn't solve the other 15 issues that exist on this roster. That's why it's so hard, and like why I think people who are like, oh, we need to trade for a star, like we need to take a big, you know, you need to take that huge swing for the fence. It's like, dude, this roster is just not there. There's just so many holes, which I think actually kind of leads us into our next topic, which is Cade Cunningham's contract extension. And that is coming up. He is extension eligible this offseason. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think both you and I do expect him to sign a contract extension with the Pistons for, I believe it would be, what, 5 years, $226 million. That's a long time, and that's a lot of money. You might be tuning into this because you clicked on my tweet where I ripped into Mike Valenti and Rico Beard for just spouting off of the mouth, saying that Cade Cunningham wouldn't play over Al Horford for the Boston Celtics. Brain blast, Jimmy Neutron. They play different positions. It's just not how the NBA works. And I see a lot of people saying, hey, $226 million. Is he worth it? For a little bit of context there, and I'm going to ask you your opinion on this. The cap hit that would be, which would be $45.2 million a year, would put Cade as the 19th highest played player in the NBA in terms of average salary. Kind of high, not that high. Do you think, you know, and that's not even counting all the other players that are going to sign free agent contracts, extensions of their own. So that probably would go even lower, actually, if we're being honest with ourselves, over the next year. Aaron, do you think that this is premature to talk about extending Cade Cunningham? Do you think it's a necessity like some people do, or do you fall somewhere kind of in the middle?
I don't think talking about extending Cade Cunningham is premature whatsoever. In fact, if I were the Detroit Pistons, I would be praying I can get him locked in this summer. I would pay him the max, hands down, with no worries in my mind. You're talking about a 22-year-old coming off a season where he averaged 23 points, 7.5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 45% shooting and 35.5% three-point shooting at 22 years old. Who are the Pistons going to spend money on? Who is coming here? Who is going to Detroit that is near the level of player that Cade Cunningham is? I'll sit and wait, because you're not going to have an answer. I'm going to be sitting and waiting for a very, very long time. I don't understand how you can look at the team. Like, this is where, to me, even though the numbers say he's worth the money as well, but this is where, if you watch the games, I feel like you're going to very clearly be on the side of pay Cade Cunningham, whatever, whenever. If you don't watch the games, I still don't know how you look at his stats and be like, yeah, that's not a guy worth that money. Go look at the guys that average the numbers that Cade Cunningham averages and tell me how much they're making. And tell me how they're regarded across the league. Cade Cunningham's worth every penny of the max extension. Pistons are not going to get a player near his level in free agency, and they're probably not going to be able to trade for a player of his caliber in free agency unless they use Cade Cunningham to get that caliber of player. I can't believe this is a discussion. I'm not surprised that the specific talking heads have that sort of mindset on it. I wasn't surprised by the takes whatsoever, but it's crazy to me that we're sitting here having this conversation, because if Cade Cunningham walked in the door and said, as soon as I'm extension eligible, I want to get together and I want to sign it and I want to announce it, I'd be saying absolutely yes. You know, we'll call you at 12:01 as soon as you're eligible. Like, I don't understand how this is even a discussion.
I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. I think it's just like, you pay him. I don't think there's any question. You're not going to get anybody better, whether it's via trade or if you are in some reason insane enough to just let him walk as a free agent, a la Greg Monroe or something like that. Like, no, this ain't Greg Monroe. Cade Cunningham is a stud. And look, you're going to get people who say, oh, well, you know, they won 14 games last year. That's his fault. Of all the problems on the Pistons, I think that Cade was the only non-problem for the Pistons for the majority of this season. And I think you can look at, you know, perhaps his overall efficiency last year. You can look at win shares or whatever, if that's your thing. If that's what really gets your rocks off, like, go for it, big dog. But I'm not looking at win shares. I'm looking at the last 37 games of the season, when he stopped playing next to Killian Hayes, who is, by the way, out of the NBA and probably will never get another NBA contract again, as his starting backcourt mate. And you move Jaden Ivey, who has not been amazing last year, but at least is an NBA player. Cade's last 37 games, 23.6 points, 7.8 assists, 4.6 rebounds, 3 turnovers. And I think that's a very, very important thing as well. People talk about Cade like he's turning the ball over 6 times a game. Didn't happen once he got an actual NBA player next to him and they gave him just a modicum of spacing. The turnovers went way down. And I think you look at the efficiency in that time period, 47% overall from the floor, 38% from three on 5 attempts per game, 86% from the line. That's an all-star guard right there. And so the way I look at it is, if you could just give him an actual NBA team, give him that money, he's going to be worth every single penny of it by the time it's over. And within 2-3 years, it's going to be a great contract for your team. I just don't see why you wouldn't pay him. I don't get the argument for not trade him for what? What are you going to trade him for? I just don't get it. Like, honestly, Aaron, like, what do you think they could get back in a trade for Cade Cunningham? Two first round picks, like two mid lottery picks?
Yeah, I don't even think it's worth playing that game, because if you undervalue Cade Cunningham's trade value, then you're almost proving these people's points, saying he's not worth the money. But I mean, I don't know what he would be worth. Like, it just comes back to me is like, I don't know how you look at him or you look at his numbers, you look at, you know, how he plays and say he's not worth it. You know, everyone will cry about his turnovers. Well, he ended up averaging 3.4 turnovers per game last season. That was 0.1 more turnovers per game than he averaged in his second season, but he averaged an assist and a half more this past year than he did in his second season. So his assists went up by 1.5 per game, and his turnovers barely rose. He averaged 3.7 turnovers per game in his rookie season, so still down from his career high. People will talk about the injuries. Only played 62 games last year. Let's be honest, folks. For all the adults in the room, if the Pistons were in any sort of contention, whether it be for the play-in, for a playoff spot, God be for a title one day, Cade Cunningham would have played the final 7 games of the year. So he would have been at about 69, 70 games played rather than 62. And if you're getting 70 games out of a player in this day and age, that's very freaking good. So he was very healthy last year, all things considered. I mean, it didn't make sense for the Pistons to play Cade Cunningham when they were playing for absolutely zero last year and playing a bunch of G Leaguers. So I think that's a stupid argument as well. You want to talk about extensions for guys like Jaden Ivey or Jalen Duren and questioning the validity of those? That's a different discussion. Those are worthwhile discussions. You're talking about a guy that is probably going to be an all-star next year. He's putting up fantastic numbers that very few players in the league are able to replicate. You sign him to that max extension because he's the best thing to happen to this damned franchise in the last decade since Blake Griffin, honestly. I mean, it's a no-doubter that you keep Cade Cunningham because he is the best player that this team has had since Blake Griffin's 2018-19 season. I mean, and he's only 22 years old, so he's going to continue to get better. He's going to continue to be a more effective player. And Cade, if you listen to Cade talk, like, you hear a leader. You hear a young man mature for his age. Again, I think it's hard because we so often just view these guys as grown men playing basketball. Cade Cunningham is 22 in a league full of guys that are 28, 30, 32. And he is one of the most mature, one of the most vocal leaders that has been on this team in recent years. He has that leader mentality. He has that energy of a leader. Dare I say that aura of a leader. It makes no sense to me. I know I've said that probably a dozen times during this conversation, but I still know there are going to be people that try to say he's not worth it. And good luck fielding a team next year without Cade Cunningham on the roster. I mean, 14 wins, you're looking at 10 wins if you're lucky. This is ridiculous.
And I another thing that I'll say is, you know, I've heard people say, well, he can't be the best player on a championship team. That is completely irrelevant. Like, it's completely irrelevant to the conversation. Guys who are not the best players on their team get paid max contracts. That's just the way the NBA works these days. Like, look, you can just look at the names of players who would be getting paid more than Cade would next year. Tell me if any of these guys are the best player on a championship team. Karl Anthony Towns, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Tyrese Halliburton, Jimmy Butler, Domantas Sabonis. None of these guys are the best player on a championship team. But that's the way the NBA works. The way that the contracts play out, even if you don't believe that Cade is the guy, like the guy in that Luka tier, it doesn't matter. You still pay him this money because that's the way that the NBA operates. So to me, there's really no logical argument for not paying him this. Even if you don't believe that he is the best player on a championship team, even if you don't believe that he is a perennial MVP candidate, whatever it is, it's still a good contract, to be completely honest with you. If you can lock up a guy from his age 23 to his age 28 season for what is going to, by his second year into it, be top 25, barely money, it's a no-brainer. It's just an absolute no-brainer. Even if he's not a top 25 player, even if he's top 30, it's a no-brainer. So to me, there's just really no logical argument you can make against paying Cade Cunningham. He's 22. He has improved every single year. He's cut down on the bad things. He's improved on the good things. There's a clear upward trajectory for him. Even if the results aren't there, all I ask is, like, don't worry about the money you're spending on Cade Cunningham. Worry about the money you're spending on the rest of your roster, because that is how this team can actually get better, not by trading away their best player.
Mm-hmm. And I think another point I'll make here is, look at how he's viewed across the league, like from opposing coaches, opposing players. Like, he is talked about in such a high regard, and people in the know understand the type of situation that he's in and how well he's handled it. When you look at other stars, I mean, heck, look at Zion Williamson in New Orleans. Like, look at how his first years in the league have gone. I mean, do you think he would have handled playing in Detroit, playing for these rosters, the way that Cade Cunningham has? The guy has gotten, you know, hit in the face a million times and taken it like an absolute champ. Now, I would be more, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a player in his situation would be like, look, get me out of here. I'm going into year four. You haven't given me a roster worth my time. Get me out. And he's not. We haven't heard that. There's no indication that that's the case. There's some indication that things could change if things don't change for this team. But that hasn't been the case. Cade Cunningham has been all in on turning this thing around and being part of turning this thing around. And the Pistons haven't held up their end of the bargain. So that's what would matter more for me, or sticks out more to me, is like Cade Cunningham's been more than willing, but has been very, very, tried and true in trying to help change things in Detroit, and the franchise hasn't done enough to help him and to help turn this thing around. It's not the other way around. It's on the Pistons, not Cade. So the Pistons should feel blessed that Cunningham, would be willing to sign that max contract, and they should get it done as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think we're in total agreement on this. There's no real logical argument to not pay him. The rookie max is not something that you give to a player because of what they've done. It's something you give to a player because of what you believe they can do. And frankly, they're lucky he hasn't made an all-star team or an all-NBA team, because they'd have to pay him a lot more if he did. So they better be hoping he doesn't make an all-star squad next year. Even though I think he's very much going to be in contention. Like, this is not like a Tyreke Evans type deal, where a guy comes in and he's awesome his rookie year and he's got some flaws. And then as the years go on, those flaws get exposed more and more. It's been the opposite with Cade. He came in, he had certain flaws that he struggled with, and he's improved upon them, even within this very last season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure somebody, multiple people, are going to disagree with us and say we're stupid because the Pistons won 14 games last year, and therefore Cade Cunningham is not a winner. But, you know, go off. That's all I got to say to that. Go off. Enjoy. I will be sitting over here pristine, serene, enlightened in the knowledge that I have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
A 22-year-old averaging 23-8-4 a game, and people trying to wish him off this team. You guys like pain. You guys like losing. I don't know. I really don't know. I think that's just a hilarious discussion. I did not think that was going to be something that we actually had to talk about on the podcast at all. Like, I felt like it was a pretty foregone conclusion that Cade was worth every penny he's able to get, but when the most prominent talking heads in the city bring it up and you find out that there are some people that also feel that way, it really makes you wonder. But I'm glad we talked about it. I'm glad we shared our perspective, because I think we need some better perspective than what was shared by some of the others in the media space.
All I'll say is this. If you're a native New Yorker who is a Boston Celtics fan, shame on you. Shame on you. Have some pride. Have some cojones, man. Boston Celtics fan from New York City. That is despicable. Do not trust that man. He does not deserve that. That's horrible. Horrible. Can you imagine? God, it's like you meet a kid from Ann Arbor and they're an Ohio State fan. It's like, what's wrong with you, dude? Get out of here.
They exist, though. They exist, though. It's weird, because I've met a few of them. It's very, very weird.
It's strange. On the other hand, if you're from Columbus and you support U of M, yeah, of course, obviously.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah, obviously, that makes a lot of sense. I would too. Oh man,
Jasper, we've got one more podcast before the draft. We've got one more podcast before the draft. We've got one more opportunity for the Pistons to make something official on the coaching situation before the draft. I'm not going to say, hopefully we know something by next week, because I've said that the last few weeks, kind of thinking that we would have something by then, and we haven't. But man, at the same time, I kind of hope we have an update next week to talk about, because outside of the draft, there's just not a whole lot that can really be talked about until that major, major decision is made one way or the other on Monty Williams. And I don't know, like, had some time now, met with them, been around. Is he staying or is he going? I don't think people are asking too much to know one way or the other what the future holds for Monty Williams with the Detroit Pistons.
I think he's staying, man. I said it 2 weeks ago. It's a lot of money, dude. It's a lot of money. And like, I just, as much as Tom Gores says he's willing to open up the pocketbook, it's a lot of money. And I think it just makes sense for them internally to be like, hey, look, you know, if we can improve the roster somewhat, maybe Monty actually watches game film on his players this offseason. Like, they could talk themselves into it. Or maybe it's a situation where, like, they're hoping JJ Redick ends up, you know, turning down the Lakers job so he can stay in elementary school. And the Lakers are forced to trade for Monty Williams for like a second round draft pick or something. So I don't know. Maybe they're negotiating a buyout, but I said it. I think they're going to stick with Monty at least until something happens this year, like during the season. I think he get fired during the season, but I think he's going to be the head coach going into it. So, sorry.
There seems like a good time with a new leader in charge to make that change, but I don't know. As time goes on, it makes you wonder if something's actually going to happen. So we'll see on that. We'll see on that. Before everyone goes, before you sign off, look, Palace of Pistons podcast, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, it's a like, follow, subscribe, whatever you need to do on wherever you're watching or listening from, please do it. It's free for you, and it helps us super, super tremendously. Please take that 10 seconds there. Leave us a good review. Leave us all that good stuff. Tell us what you think in the comments. Tell us what you think about the Jeremy Grant idea. Tell us what you think about all the different mock drafts, who the Pistons are taking at 5. Who do you want the Pistons to take at 5? Should they keep the pick? Should they trade the pick? Tell us all that, because we like getting the feedback. We like knowing what our listeners are thinking. And if they're agreeing with us, if they're disagreeing with us, you guys might tell us something that makes more sense than what we said. So definitely let us know. Also, before you go, hit up Palace of Pistons on all the social channels. I can speak English sometimes, I promise. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Palace of Pistons. Go give us a follow on all of those pages. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Thank you to our sponsor, BetOnline. Use code Believe, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with BetOnline. For my co-host, Jasper Apollonia, I'm Aaron Johnson. Thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. We will see you all next week.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.